Well, hey, what's up, True North family? You know, whether you're watching from somewhere here in the Pittsburgh area or you're watching from somewhere else around the world, we want you to know your family here. And really what we believe around here is that the church is so much more than a building. It is this community of Jesus-following, people-loving, kingdom-building, devil-stomping world changers. And that's what we're all about here at True North Church. And so I'm excited that you're tuning in with us today. I'm excited that you're here to worship and celebrate with us. That's really what these Sunday mornings are all about. It's a time for us to come together and to just celebrate the goodness of what God is doing in each of our lives. Those of us who've put our faith and our trust into Christ as our Savior and made Him our Lord and our King, He is doing good things in our lives in spite of what may be going on all around us. It's also a moment where we get to come into this place and receive a message from our Lord, from our Savior Jesus, and from His Word. And I love that we get to, as a group, as a community of people, that we get to get our marching orders, so to speak, for the week. And that's another reason that we gather on Sunday. So we gather to celebrate, and we gather to get our marching orders and to learn some truth, hopefully, that is going to change our lives. And so I don't know what your week has been like. I don't know what challenges you may have faced throughout your week so far, but I know this. I know God wants to speak to you, directly to you. I know He has a word for you today to challenge you, to encourage you, maybe to convict you a little bit, and those are all good things. And so today we're actually going to be starting a brand new series that we're calling The Struggle is Real. And I'm really excited about this series. I don't know if you've ever found yourself saying that phrase before, but it's kind of this phrase in our culture now that's come to mean like this like first world problem kind of struggle, right? Like this simple, kind of goofy, not really all that serious thing that we might be struggling with. The struggle is real. Like when you're on a road trip, right? And you're driving with some people and you got to go to the bathroom real bad, but you don't want to be that guy that makes the car pull over before the scheduled stop, right? Because you're on a timeline and you don't want to be the guy that makes the car pull over before it's supposed to. And so you hold it, right? And by the time you get to that rest stop, man, you got to go so bad. And so you run into the restroom only to find that there's only two stalls. And stall one has no toilet paper because, well, coronavirus, and stall two looks like the last person to use it had one too many bean burritos, if you know what I'm talking about. The struggle is real. Or maybe this happens to you. For me, I have to reset passwords all the time on various accounts that I have online. And one of them that is constantly changing, it seems like for me, is my bank password. And what I'll do is I'll use my fingerprint on my phone to log in. And so I never actually have to use my password. But what the bank does is every once in a while, they decide they're going to make me put a new password in. And I hate this. Why? Because I don't know what my bank password is. I've been using my thumb fingerprint to get into my bank account for the last 6 months. And now all of a sudden, you're just going to randomly make me change it, right? And so what do? You send yourself a little email, you get the little code, you go back in, you have to create a new password, right? You can't use the same password that you used before, so you got to create a whole new one. And then this is the thing that really, I'm getting on my high horse now, all right? This is the thing that really bothers me. They make you put in a special character, right? Like you can't just put in Scooby-Doo 1. No, you got to put in Scooby-Doo 1 exclamation point. That's not my password, by the way, right? The struggle is real. Anybody else feel like that some days? And maybe like me, you found yourself saying this every once in a while. Or maybe you find yourself saying this all the time. God, I don't need this right now. I don't need this right now. I don't need this extra hassle. I don't need this extra struggle in my life. I got enough going on. I don't need additional struggle. And the truth is this, is that all of us have struggle in our life. We do. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care what your situation or circumstance is. There is nobody that is immune to struggle in this life. And sometimes the struggle is real. Sometimes the things that we are going through are really, really difficult and really painful, right? And we struggle with all different types of things in our lives. People struggle with addictions. We struggle in our relationships, in our marriages, as parents. Maybe if you're a student, you struggle in school with schoolwork or sports. We struggle with different tragedies in our life. And no matter how small or how insignificant those struggles may feel sometimes, to you, that struggle is real. And to me, the struggles that I face, they're real. You know, struggles come in all different shapes and sizes. And really, at the end of the day, you can kind of break all the struggles that we have and kind of break them down and put them into two boxes. Box one looks like this. Box one is the struggles that come as a result of things that are out of our control. Circumstances and situations that no matter how hard we try, there's nothing that we can do about it. We are faced with those things. That's kind of box one. And then box two over here are those struggles that we actually bring on ourselves. And I think we have to be real and honest and admit that sometimes our sin and our poor decisions actually are the reason that we are struggling. Or there's something going on inside of our heart and our spirit that we are struggling with. And it really doesn't have anything to do with what's going on around us. And in this series, what we're going to do is we're actually going to look at both of those boxes as we kind of navigate through this series over the next several weeks. But what I want to key in on today, first and foremost, is I want to look at those struggles in box one. I want to look at what do we do? How do we handle the struggles and challenges that we face in our life that we did not plan for, that just kind of came out of nowhere, that weren't a result of anything that we did. They just kind of happened. And what I really want to get to the heart of today is this: having a perspective on the challenges and struggles that we face that is not our own, but is the perspective of God. You see, our perspective will always lead to, when we're facing struggle and challenge, my perspective, your perspective, it will always lead to discouragement, it will lead to frustration, it will lead to bitterness, and for many people, it leads them to actually walk away from their faith in God. But when we take on God's perspective, it changes the way we see our struggle. And that's what I want for you today. That's what I want for us as a church. That's what I want for every person who walks this planet, that they might see the truth about what our struggles really are and how God can use them in our lives to grow us and change us and make us better. And so as we begin this series, I want to let you know we're actually going to be in the book of James this entire series. James is this first century Jewish writer, and he wrote this amazing letter. James is actually the half-brother of Jesus. And so he was very close to Christ. He walked with Jesus. He got this direct word from God. And it is such an encouragement when we are facing times of struggle and times of challenge in our life. And what's so cool to me about James is that he knows exactly what it means to struggle. He was actually martyred. He was killed for his beliefs in Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. He believed that Jesus was God. And so we can take what James says here and know that this isn't just some guy like making something up, but he got this direct word from God and he understood the challenges that we face every single day. I love how James doesn't pull any punches either. Like James, the book of James, if you ever read it, it's just five little chapters, but there is so much power packed into these five chapters for our lives. And when James speaks, he's very direct. He almost kind of like punches you directly in the mouth, but there's so much practical wisdom in this book. And so I believe this could be a life-changing series for someone. I encourage you, please tune in to every message during this series. We're going to build on this message as we move forward. Each message kind of builds on itself. And so I want to encourage you, be a part of each part of this series. Share it with friends if it's encouraging you, challenging to you. But before we get into the message this morning, why don't we go ahead? Why don't we just stop and pray and ask God to speak to us and meet us right where we are. So Father God, we thank you. We love you and praise you that you want to grow us, that you want to challenge us, make us better, that you love us and you care enough about us to allow us to go through some things in this life that will stretch us, so that we can become more like you, so that our faith can be increased. I pray that you would help us to see that today. I pray that you would meet us right where we are, each of us in whatever struggle we're facing today. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're actually going to be starting in James 1, chapter 1 and verse 2. And as we begin this first part of James, he lays down this first powerful challenge about how we are supposed to respond in the midst of our struggle. So this is what he says. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." He says, "Consider it pure joy when you face trials and struggles." James, hold up. You're telling me that I should be happy about the trials and the struggles that I am facing in my life. James, you're crazy. Why in the world would I ever do that? Why would I be joyful in the midst of my struggle? You mean to tell me that as I'm going through this challenge in my marriage, as I'm going through this challenge trying to parent my child, as I'm going through this challenge of this job loss or this health crisis, you want me to have joy in the midst of that circumstance? That doesn't feel right, James. That feels like the exact opposite of what I want to do. And maybe like me, you feel that way sometimes. When you're going through the struggle, when you're going through the challenge, you don't want to have joy. You don't want to be happy about that. You want to have kind of a woe is me attitude. That's how I am, right? I want to kind of drop down to the floor into the fetal position, curl up, and just pretend like none of it's happening, right? Wait for it all to be over. I don't want to have joy. But James goes on here. I love this about James. He doesn't just tell them, hey, you need to have joy in this situation. He gives them the reason why. And this is so powerful. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. The testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so what he's really saying here is, guys, you need to change your perspective. You have a choice here. You can see your trial, your circumstance, the thing that you are suffering through, you can see that as something negative, or you can see this thing as something positive. You can see this thing as a test that is actually going to produce something in your life that is good. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was going to school, I hated taking tests. I mean, I hated it. And the reason that I hated taking tests, and my guess is you probably hate taking tests too, unless you're some sort of weirdo, right? You hate taking tests for the same reason that I hate taking tests. Because there's pressure when you have to take a test, isn't there? Right? There's a lot of stress and anxiety that comes when you know that you have to take a test. But the reality is this, that without the test, there is no growth. There is no way to know if you have learned what you need to learn unless there is a test. Tests are an essential part of learning and growth in our everyday life, and they are an essential part of our spiritual learning and our spiritual growth. Without the pressure of the test, there's a very good chance that you're not going to learn what you need to learn. You're not going to grow. And the best teachers, they know this, right? There isn't a teacher worth their salary that doesn't test their students. Why? Because they want their students to learn and grow and mature and to be prepared for what's next in their educational journey. And in the same way, if you're a parent, it's the same way, right? I want my children to be prepared to take the next step in their journey, to be matured, to be ready to handle whatever comes at them next. And so we allow our kids to go through tests. It's the same way with God. This is what James is saying, that the trial, the struggle that you are going through right now, it is a test. And it is a test designed to produce something in your life. What? That is the question. James tells us. He says, the testing of your faith. That is what is being tested. When you go through a struggle, when you go through a trial, your faith is being tested, right? God allows trials to prove and increase our faith. That is why he allows trials. That is why he allows struggle in your life. Because he wants to produce in you a greater faith. Why does he want to produce greater faith in your life? He wants to produce greater faith because he knows that the greater your faith is in him and the less your faith is in yourself and in your circumstance and in other people, the better off you will be. And as your faith increases in him, it changes how you look at the world. It changes your life. It changes everything about your life. And it produces in you something that I think we all want. Perseverance. This is what he says. The testing of your faith. So your faith is being tested. And in that test, your perseverance is being increased. Perseverance is being produced. He wants to increase our perseverance. This is what he says in James chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, let perseverance then finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Perseverance is doing a work in us. When you are becoming more, when you are able to persevere more in a situation in your life, here's what's happening. This is what James says. He says, it's producing in you a more mature and complete faith. You see, this is what God is after. Whether you know this or not, what God wants for you is you to become more mature and complete. How do we become more mature and complete? By learning to persevere through our suffering. By learning to persevere through our trial. This is how God increases perseverance. This is how God increases our faith. And eventually what happens is that we become able to handle greater and greater pressure, greater and greater struggle in our life. And as we are able to handle more and more struggle, it makes us more and more mature. See, I want to, and I don't know about you, but I want to be able to handle everything that life throws at me, not because of me, but because my faith in my God has increased. He's trying to make us mature and complete. It shows us that our faith is unshakable, doesn't it? Right, when we are able to handle the struggle that we are facing in our life, when we are able to get through that test, what does it do? It proves to us that our faith cannot be shaken, and that is such a beautiful thing. That brings a great peace and a great comfort to us, because the next time we go through struggle, we know we have that encouragement that we will persevere, that we will get through it, and that gives us hope. And sometimes hope is the only thing we have as we're walking through some of those difficult things in our life. It is the mark of maturity, how we handle things that come at us in this life. But he also gives us a very practical step here, because if you're like me, here's one of the questions that I have as I'm kind of reading through this, and James is kind of teaching us about this whole concept. What about the times when I don't know that I can do it? I don't feel like having joy in this moment. I don't want to look at this as a test that's growing me and challenging me and refining me, right? What do I do in those moments, James? Well, he doesn't leave us hanging there. He goes on in verse 5. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So James says, if you're struggling through something and you don't know what to do and you don't know how to handle it and you don't know if you're going to be able to get through it, here's all you have to do. Ask God for his wisdom and he will give it to you, he says, generously. He will pour out his wisdom on you. He will show you how to have the right perspective in your circumstance. He will show you how to navigate that challenge that you are facing, and he will bring you the wisdom and the peace and the contentment that you need to get through that situation. You are not alone. Your God, our God, wants to pour out his wisdom generously on us to help us get through those situations and those struggles that we are facing. And so he goes through this whole idea of what a struggle is, what a trial is, right? It's a test. It's testing our faith. It's producing in us this perseverance so that we can endure greater and greater struggle. But then down in verse 12, we're going to jump down. He kind of closes out this whole moment. And I want you to cling to this verse. From now until the end of time, when you are facing trial, when you are facing struggle in your life, this verse is so encouraging. What it does is it forces us to put our eyes on the end result. It forces us to put our eyes on the promise, not on the struggle that we are facing in the moment, but on the promise that God has made to us for later. This is what he says. He says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed are those, he says, who are able to make it through all that this life has to throw at them, and they do not lose faith. They do not lose heart. They continue to persevere. Those are the ones who will be blessed. And what will we be blessed with? We will be blessed with this eternity. Because we did not lose our faith. We did not turn away from God in the midst of our struggle. It actually made us stronger. We now receive the crown of life, it says. Eternity in heaven with our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. All because we are able to persevere. Blessed are those who make it through this life and everything that life has to throw at them. And their faith is actually increased. Right? Our faith is actually increased because of the struggle that we go through. Those people will be blessed. They will be made mature, he says, and they will be made complete. And I don't know about you, but I want that. I do. I want that. And even though sometimes as I'm walking through some of the darkest, most difficult struggles I'm facing, when I can put my focus on the promise, on the end results, it changes everything in that moment. You know, a couple of weeks ago when all of this coronavirus stuff went down, I had to switch my workout routine. I love working out. It's something that's a huge part of my life. It's a time when I'm able to connect with God. It's quiet time for me. It makes me feel better, you know, mind, body, and spirit. And so 6 weeks ago when they closed all the gyms and the schools shut down and everything, I didn't have access to a gym anymore. And so the first thing I did was I went out and I actually purchased this set of bands, stretchy bands that you can use to kind of work out, do some strength training with those. And I knew that they wouldn't be as good as being in a weight room, but I didn't realize just how much of a workout you can get with these bands. And the reason that you can get a great workout with bands is that when you stretch those bands out, stretch them to their fullest tension, they create this tension in your muscles as you hold that band out there. And if you know anything about strength training, you know that there's this phrase called time under tension. Time under tension. And this is what actually produces growth. This is what allows you to become stronger. It's what allows your muscles to grow. You have to put your muscles under tension. And the longer the time you put them under that tension, the greater the growth. And so I went out and I got some of these bands, right? And if you look at these bands, when you first kind of hold it, you know, there's not much to it, right? And if I just hold it like this, this doesn't take any work at all. But the second I go to kind of stretch this out and then try to hold it out here, it becomes a challenge. It becomes a struggle, doesn't it? And the longer I hold it here, the more I can feel the muscles in my back and my shoulders and my chest. It all begins to tense up. And my guess is I could hold this here for a certain amount of time, but eventually I would have to let it go. Eventually I would not be able to hold that band out there any longer. Why? Because I only have a certain capacity to hold that tension for so long at this point. And if I want to get stronger, if I want this, if I want to be able to hold that band out there for longer, if I want to be able to add more bands, right? I'm going to have to hold that longer and longer and longer. Each day I work out, I'm going to have to do it more and more. I'm going to have to increase the tension. And as I increase the tension on those bands, I will get stronger. You see, the longer you hold those bands, the more your strength and endurance is increased. And the heavier the resistance, the greater the growth and the development. And this is what I want you to hear. This is the analogy. You can only increase the amount of tension on those bands by increasing the load, right? You have to stack additional bands each time you work out if you want to eventually continue to get stronger. You can't just stop with one band. Stacking the tension and holding it for longer is what is going to increase growth. And this is what I'm learning. And this is what God is teaching me. And this is what I hope will be an encouragement to you. This is the message of James 1, 2 through 5 here. It's that the tension that we are under, the time under tension, it is producing something in us. What is it producing? It is producing transformation, right? As I work out with those bands, I am being transformed physically. And as we are put under the tension of our struggle, whatever struggle that might be in our life, as we are put under that tension, we are producing greater and greater transformation in our spiritual life. This is what God is after. And I want to be under that tension, even though it's difficult and even though it's hard sometimes. And sometimes when I'm in the middle of it, I want to give up and I want to quit, right? When I'm in the middle of my workout with those bands, sometimes it hurts so bad, I just want to drop it and quit. When we're in the middle of that struggle that we're going through, we just want to drop it and quit. We don't want to persevere. But we need to remember this, that time under tension produces transformation. And I want to be transformed. And I want you to be transformed. I want your faith to increase. This is why we can have joy in the midst of any struggle that we face, because we know that it is producing in us a greater faith and a greater ability to withstand bigger tests. See, I don't know all the reasons why God would allow you to suffer. I don't know why God would allow you to go through the circumstances or the challenges that you may be facing or all the reasons why, but I know the primary reason why. James says it right here. This is what he's trying to teach us. The primary reason is to test us with the intent of transforming us. Let me say that again. The primary reason that you are going through whatever struggle you're going through right now is to test our faith, to test us with the intent of transforming us. He wants us to become stronger and learn how to persevere. He wants to produce in us a maturity and a completeness and a wholeness. And so when your kids won't behave and your spouse is doing things that frustrate you and your boss is being rude and nasty, or you've lost your job, or when you face that health crisis, or whatever it is that you might be going through today, here's what I want you to remember. Have joy. Have joy in that moment. And begin to look at that struggle as a test that is producing in you something greater, a greater faith, a greater perseverance, and ultimately, a closer relationship with your Heavenly Father. You see, God will do anything He has to get you to make Him the top priority, to get you to put your eyes on Him and His promises, even if it means that you have to go through a little bit of a struggle now so that you can have something greater later. Whatever you're struggling with, have joy. The truth is that struggles they're going to come. They're going to come. It doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. You are going to face challenges. You are going to face struggles. And we have two choices. We do. We've got two choices, and I want you to make the right choice. The first choice, the wrong choice, let's just call it what it is to look at our challenges and struggles and say, I'm going to be bitter about this. I'm going to get frustrated. I'm going to get angry. And I'm going to say, forget you, God. Because I can't believe you would allow me to go through this thing. And that's one choice and that's one option. And if you make that choice, that breaks my heart. Because if you make that choice, you miss out on all of the good things that having faith and increased faith in God brings, the joy and the contentment and the peace and the eternity with him that comes with faith in him. But there's a second choice. There's a second choice, and it's a better choice. It's the choice that James is trying to get his readers to understand, and that is this, that you, when you face struggle and when you face challenge, you have a choice to look at that struggle as an opportunity for growth. You have a choice to look at that struggle and see that struggle as something that is producing something better in you. And that's what I want to challenge you to do today. I don't know what struggle you may be facing. I don't know what challenges you have in front of you or what challenges or struggles you will have in front of you in the future. But I do know this, that your God is doing something in the midst of that struggle. That the time that you are spending under tension right now is actually producing transformation in your life for the future. And if you will take that perspective instead of that other perspective, not only will you be able to navigate through your struggle better, but in the very end, when this life is over and all of this stuff that we go through comes to an end and we get to finally be in heaven with our Father who loves us, it will be so worth it. And so today, we're going to spend a little bit of time here in a moment worshiping together. And as we worship, as we sing praises to our God, I want to encourage you to look to him and give him praise in the midst of your struggle. And see how it changes your heart and your mind. See how maybe it changes the way you've been maybe bitter or angry or frustrated with him because of what you have been going through. I know that the struggle is real. I do. But I know that we serve a God who is so much bigger than that struggle. So this morning, let's worship him. Let's praise him for who he is in this moment. No matter where you are, whether you're sitting on your couch in your living room or somewhere else, would you just put away the distractions for the next few minutes and would you worship your God? Let's pray and then we'll worship together here in a moment. Father, we thank you and praise you for your goodness, for your faithfulness. God, I thank you for your words of truth that even though sometimes they are so challenging and convicting, even though sometimes we don't understand it, God, there are moments in my life when I don't want to deal with the struggle. I want to just throw in the towel and say, forget this and forget you sometimes. But God, I know that what you are allowing me to go through is producing in me something greater. And so I pray that you would increase our faith in you through whatever struggle we're going through. Produce in us a maturity and a completeness, God. Help us to be content as we seek you in our struggle. And we'll give you all the glory for how you transform our lives through it. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.